right, bet. Let's get into it, man. Episode 154, man. Salute to the NBA community. Welcome back to the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. Y'all, I am your host, as always. Y'all know the vibes. The Kid 7 Mitchell in the building. Appreciate all you basketball junkies out there, man. We got a couple things to talk about on tonight's show, so appreciate you guys pulling up, man. I got a special guest. First of all, I got to give a round of applause to my special guest tonight, man. First of all.
Thank you, man.
You must have been the oracle of tonight's topic of discussion, man. I'm talking about one half of the Sports to the Wire podcast team. My guy, Rasheed White, is in the building. Rasheed, what's popping, family?
What's good? Thank you for actually having me tonight, man. You know, it's an honor. Definitely, it's a special honor to come on here, man.
It was only right that if I was going to go outside the box and talk about the Brooklyn Nets in a positive manner, I had to bring up the one who has been telling me that this was going to happen from day one. From the beginning of the season, you have projected that this thing was somehow going to turn around, even after Steve Nash got fired. Right now, you guys are in sole possession of second place. Unbelievable. Ty TV is in the building. What's good, my G? You already know the vibes, man. Appreciate you coming through. Smash that like button, man. Pull up a chair. Kick back, man. We got a dope show for all tonight. If you can see, man, behind my man Rasheed, you see Kyrie, the Brooklyn Nets, they doing their numbers, man. What's your thoughts, Rasheed, because you told us so. So I need you.
Yeah, I don't want to brag. First of all, I actually want to thank the Brooklyn Nets personally for just making me look good. And especially Ben Simmons, because there was so much hate on Ben Simmons. And I try to tell people, I said, listen, I played basketball. I missed time, you know, like a year or 2 years, 3 years off. It's just, you're not going to just get back into it like that. It takes time. And I said it with perfect accuracy, how many games is it going to take for him to get back. And I'm just thank the Brooklyn Nets for just gelling and Kyrie was just for making me look good here, man, you know, and not making me look bad. It's because people would say, yo, Rasheed, you don't know what you're talking about. See, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, nobody believed me, but I just want to thank the Brooklyn Nets for making me look good, man.
You know, you mentioned the name earlier today. We spoke off air. You had mentioned a name that I was surprised that you had kind of gave credit and flowers to. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised, but you had mentioned the name of Sean Marks.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you feel like get the biggest credit when you look at this turnaround since Jacque Vaughn started coaching the Brooklyn Nets? Who do you give the most credit to?
I gotta give it to Sean Marks, because I made a video saying it was about 5 or 6 months ago that he needs to be fired. One, how he actually handled the whole Kyrie Irving situation with the whole vaccinated nonsense. I wanted Joe Tsai to actually sell the team back in June, April, May, June. I wanted him to sell the team. I didn't like the way the roster was actually really constructed. So. Yeah, I gotta give Sean Marks a lot of credit. I mean, Kevin Durant wanted him fired, and he put a really, really good roster together, and a lot of it is actually health. Jacque Vaughn is another one. He's a type of guy. Yeah, I mean, you could tell he's a really, really good dude. I mean, I have a guy like that on my job. You just like, if he wants you to do some extra overtime, and if I had a flight going out, you know, in a couple of hours, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to just really catch the next flight, man. You know, he's just really, really a great guy, man. I just love the adjustments that he's actually making. He's getting people to buy in. Like, you know, Cam Thomas, you know, he wants a bigger role. You know, he thinks he's that dude, and he's not complaining as far as I know. He's not actually complaining and whining and crying and becoming disruptive and, you know, so, I mean, Jacque Vaughn is just, you know, getting these guys buy into their roles. specifically, not trying to, you know, have guys do more than what they're capable of actually doing. So, I mean, yeah, Jacques Vaughn, you got to, you know, give it up to him. He simplified the playbook, you know, simplified practice from what I'm actually hearing. And, you know, Sean Marks, man, he came through. He came through by putting his roster together. T.J. Warren. You know,
the biggest thing that surprises me, you know, Coach Vaughn attributed this run to just playing basketball.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know what I'm saying? As far as the success that the Brooklyn Nets have had within these last 10, 11 games. And it's just such a surprise because of the roller coaster that this team had experienced from the offseason up until now. Like, every element you could think of, Brooklyn had to go through it within those first couple of months. It was crazy. And now...
Yeah, I don't... And I agree with Kevin Durant. I don't think it was... It was really a lot of the outside noise from the media. Just stirring up a lot of nonsense just to get clicks. I think it was just a matter of getting guys healthy, like Ben Simmons, Edmund Sumner, and TJ Warren missed a lot of time. I mean, TJ Warren missed 2 years. Edmund Sumner missed a whole year. Ben Simmons missed a whole year and a half. It's just getting guys actually healthy.
Right.
And then, yeah, getting guys to actually really kind of buy into their roles, man. You know, Nicholas Claxton not trying to do too much, just doing exactly what he's supposed to do. You know, I did a video of him to Jacques Vaughn, and just as a joke to unleash that college Nick Claxton, where he was putting the ball on the floor, shooting, but, you know, he's you know, everybody's just doing their thing, man. You know, they got 3 7-footers, man, like in terms of Ben Simmons, KD, and Nicholas Claxton, that just makes it really, really, they all three of them could switch on to guards and they could block shots. They can, you know, get onto the 3-point line and scramble and chase guys off the 3-point line. And I mean, this is, I call it the 3-headed dragon right there in terms of their 3 7-footers. It was just like, it's really, really kind of hard to score on.
You brought up the media earlier. One thing that I am a little bit disappointed in, but I'm not surprised, is the media does not have the same energy for Kyrie Irving's name during this run like they had just a couple weeks ago. They were throwing Kyrie Irving's name in the dirt. You seen the Nets playing their best basketball of the season. And I don't hear Skip, Barkley, Shaq. I don't hear none of these guys talking about Kyrie Irving of late, bro.
Nah, that's the thing, man. It's just when it comes to negativity, yeah, they don't. I mean, he's been playing excellent basketball. I just did a video, the last two videos on him, and a lot of people don't think he's a all-star this year. I'm like, well, listen, yes, he is an all-star, man. I mean, he's been really kind of carrying this team pretty much, and you see he should be number one in fourth quarter points now, I believe, points in the fourth quarter. You know, he's been passing, he's been playing defense. I mean, just doing everything. You know, the road game on Atlanta, man, they needed him. He just came, he closed in Toronto and that Atlanta game, the last Atlanta game. I mean, he was just a real, real, you know, I try to tell people about Kyrie Irving, man, you know, just one of the best, like a really, really high percentage one-on-one player. And if you're an opposing coach, you actually have to game plan for him. If not, he's going to burn you, man, for like 35, 40-something points.
But here's the thing about Kyrie, because I feel like Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, really turned his back on the superstars.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm surprised Kyrie really bought into this program after everything that he went through. More than anybody else, Kyrie really was the villain this season when it comes to the Nets. But he has matured, at least, or faking it enough that he's really bought in. And these guys have
won. Well, he has to be a professional. I mean, he's there for, like he said personally, he's there for Kevin Durant, not there for the owner. You know, I don't think, and that's true. Kate, what's his name? TY Television, he should be in conversation for the MVP. Definitely concur with that, man. Absolutely.
You think Kyrie should be an MVP conversation?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. Definitely, man, definitely. I mean, like, he's been closing out on the road, man. You've seen the clutch game in Toronto. Absolutely, man. Definitely, definitely. I'm not sorry. saying he's going to win it. Yeah, I'm not saying he can win the MVP, but he should be in the conversation.
You smoke crack, don't you?
That might need to be drug tested. I can't go for Kyrie being in the MVP conversation, especially over Kevin Durant. To me, this is KD.
No. I'm not saying I want him to win the MVP. I want him in that conversation. You know, I'm not saying Kyrie should win it, but I want him in the conversation.
I got you. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. Seven Mitchell in the building, episode 154. Got my special guest, Rasheed White of the Sports to the Wire podcast, man. We're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, man, and them just really taking over the National Basketball Association. Let's kind of lock in when it comes to KD, Kevin Durant, as of late, man. He has definitely been just, I mean, I don't know what to say. He's averaging just under 30 points a game, just under 7 rebounds, 5 boards, just under 2 blocks. Like, he's doing it on both ends of the court, and he's shooting 56% from the field. That, to me, is definitely MVP discussion, especially when they win in games. How impressed are you with Kevin Durant?
Oh, man, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. We know KD can do this, especially when you have a squad around him. Ben Simmons, you see he can actually push the pace, and he can break down a defense in 3-4 dribbles. You have to collapse on him, and then look who's wide open. KD, man, just one of the most complete players that we actually have in the NBA, man. Just on, you know, off the ball, you can use him as a decoy, as a spot-up shooter. And what I love about him, what I see this year compared to last year in the playoffs, man, he's not allowing the defense to get set, man. You start closing out on him, he's starting to move and put the ball on the floor. He's not holding it as much. So he's just making quicker decisions, decision-making. I mean, a lot of different things I see, man. Defensively, he's committing to that end. But the main thing I see from Kevin Durant this year versus last year is just like the quicker decision making, you know. And you know, I did a Michael Jordan video, in terms of the GOAT, and you see MJ. I'm not saying KD's MJ, but you know, you try to get your defense, like MJ would never allow you for the most part to get your defense set, you know, as soon as you start running towards him, he's already moving. You try to fake this way, he's going the other way. And I just see KD actually doing that, man. He's just not allowing Kyrie's doing that more too. He's not actually, you know, over dribbling. You know, you try to scramble at him, he puts the ball on the floor, and right. They're gonna be really hard to stop, man. I just think they're gonna win a championship this year, definitely, man.
Under Steve Nash, the Brooklyn Nets were 1-5 this season. I believe under Coach Vaughn, they are 21-7. It's amazing to see how it's a turnaround with the same roster for the most part. And Ben Simmons, even though he's not making a bunch of mistakes, he's not putting up any. He's just doing his job, and it seems
you don't need him to score right now. Yeah. But I'm telling you, if he wants to go out there and score 20 points a game, man, I mean, my gosh, man. Because they can't – I was just, like I said, in the Atlanta game, the first 3 or 4 minutes, he was really pushing it, man, really looking to score. And there was 3 guys collapsed onto him, and he was still getting to the rim. And I'm like, damn, you got Joe Harris out there, Seth Curry, Kai, Durant, Watanabe. I mean, all these guys can shoot threes. So if Ben Simmons just decides to go out there and starts to score 16, 20 points a game, man, the league is in trouble, because he's a matchup nightmare, man. I mean, most of the point guards are like 6'3", 6'4". You're talking about a 7-foot point guard, man.
Is Kevin Durant not the best player in the league, right? Like, where
you at? Yeah, absolutely. Durant? Absolutely. He's the best player in the NBA right now. In terms of skills, I mean, no weaknesses to his game whatsoever. Yeah, no weaknesses.
So you're not buying into this whole Giannis is the best player in the world?
Nah. So dominant player, one of the most dominant players that we actually have in the NBA, but no. Because, you know, I mean, Giannis is, you know, he's passing, still kind of shaky, not a great three-point shooter. You know, if you put a wall around Giannis, you know, he can't shoot, get the pull-up jump shot like KD can. No, I don't think so, man. Giannis is, he's more dominant, I would say, but in terms of like skill, nah, no way.
Kevin Durant is not better than LeBron, Rasheed. Why do we keep doing this, man?
Who's not better? What? Ah, come on, man. Come on.
LeBron James is the best player in the world.
See, he's not a better three-point shooter. You're going to say player, right? You know what I'm saying? You got to look at skills, all right? So he's not a better three-point shooter than KD. Not a better free throw shooter than KD. Ball handling KD. Mid-range game is actually better than LeBron. I would say defensively right now, the way KD's actually playing defense is actually better than LeBron. LeBron is just not playing no D. You know, it's not his fault. I mean, look at the roster that he actually has around him. You can't ask the man. Yes, he writes it. Giannis, is it hell? No. All right, I lost my train of thought. So, yeah, you can't ask LeBron to carry the team and then go play high-level defense. It's too much, especially at his age, you know. So, I mean,
that's fine. But I'm putting all that into consideration, his age, the longevity. At right now, being in season in year 20, 37 years of age, 30-something, like, I know I'm being biased. But to me, until he retire, LeBron is the man. But
nah, you can use KD so much more, man. You can use him off the ball. LeBron is not great off the ball. I respect LeBron. I mean, I made a lot of videos defending LeBron.
So you're telling me, Rasheed, because we go by the eye test. We've been watching the game since the 80s and the 90s. Like, we go by the eye test. You're telling me that you rather have Kevin Durant on your team than LeBron James if you got your
pick? Listen, all right. When they won the championship, they kept asking LeBron James about the loss against Golden State. All he kept saying was, Kevin Durant, he wouldn't answer any other questions. He just wouldn't say anything. Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant. Yeah, man, he's lethal, man. He's just lethal.
He's a problem. He's a problem. He's definitely a problem, man. What team in the Eastern Conference, man, before we get off of the Brooklyn Nets, what team scares you the most in the East?
I think the team that really gave them a fit was Atlanta so far. There's a couple of them. I'm not scared of Cleveland. But Bogdanovich kid, I mean, man, he's been killing us, man. I mean, he's tough, man. He is really, really tough. And then you got Trae Young and then DeJounte Murray and then John Collins. They could put on an offensive clinic. Boston could kind of scare me. But all they got to do is just put Kevin Durant at the five to neutralize Robert Williams. That would actually take him out of the game. Yeah, listen to what your boy TYTV say.
TYTV said, I would rather have KD right now. LeBron's impact is taking a hit. He can still drop bunnies on everyone, but he can't grasp games and change them like he used to. I mean, but see, when y'all do that, y'all talk so incomplete because y'all talk like LeBron got shooters around him. He has no one in his Robin, the second best player, cannot stay on the court. So it's just like
forget about the teams. Just as a player, you got LeBron James and Kevin Durant. You want to start a team. Who are you taking? Who gives you so much more?
LeBron does to me, bro. I think LeBron's basketball IQ is definitely higher than Kevin Durant's. I need that.
I would say they're on the same level, man. The same wavelength. You listen
what?
To
what? Hold on. Wait a minute.
No, listen to the KD press conference, man. I mean, he could pick a game apart, man. I watch almost every post game conference after him, after the game. And KD, since his basketball IQ is off the charts, he can pick a game apart, man, really, really well, man. He does.
Let me tell you something, Rasheed White. I'm not going to allow you to sit here and do that tonight, man. Kevin Durant is a baller. He definitely has a high basketball IQ, but IQ, no one in the NBA.
Wait a minute. Whoa. I'm not going to let you get away with that, man. He picked Russell Westbrook. He took Russell Westbrook over Buddy Hield, man, and DeMar DeRozan.
Kevin Durant left Golden State. How bright was that move?
What's that?
Kevin Durant left Golden State. How bright was that move?
Yeah, I mean, I made videos about that. I mean, do you want something easy or do you want a challenge? You know,
I want to win.
You want to feel something about it, man. If you go to something that's already ready made and you didn't build it, you know, you're going to feel empty. But when you go to some place and you build it from the ground up, I mean, it's a better feeling inside, man. I was dissing Colin Cowherd over that because he kept, you know, getting on Kevin Durant for leaving the Golden State Warriors. I said, yeah, you want to go to Fox Sports where they got everything all set up for you. You don't want to do this. You know, let me see you go build your own thing up from YouTube and learn how to edit and do all this stuff over here. You don't want to do that, man. You want it easy. So with Kevin Durant, what's a challenge? So what? He wants a challenge.
But if Kevin Durant can't get it done in Brooklyn, I mean, what are we saying in hindsight? We're going to be like, yo, he could have stayed there because basically Draymond ran him out.
Nah, I don't even think it was. He said he was leaving regardless. I just think he wants a challenge, man. He wants to build his own thing.
Well, he got Steph Curry's team.
He kind of wants it. Yeah, I support KD on that move, man. Look at this, man.
BA up in the building. Get your bars up, man. That's my brother, man. Salute the BA, up. Man. Make sure y'all check out my brother, BA. Get your bars up. Yeah. Brooklyn is doing their numbers, man.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I forgot who they play Saturday. They should actually get that game, too. Yeah, we'll see. They almost lost that Atlanta game, man. I mean, Atlanta's tough, man. Atlanta's going to be a problem. Once they get, you know, I don't know. There's a whole thing with Trae Young and the rest of the team and how the rest of the team don't like Trae Young. They think he's too arrogant, cocky, and they kind of respect DeJounte Murray more. But I mean, if they can get their chemistry figured out, man, Atlanta's gonna be tough. They really are.
I see that thing blowing up, Rasheed. I'm not gonna lie. I was wondering about Trae Young earlier today because I'm like, first of all, the comparisons to him and Luka, it's just looking bad for him. That's number one. Then number two, the friction he has within the coach. He's gonna win that bet, but those guys are not really Atlanta. Will be a Cinderella team. They don't even really have the respect on their name. And Trae Young, even though he is respected, it's just like a lot going on, I think, in that locker room.
And well, that's what I said. If they get it together, yeah, if they can get the chemistry together, yeah. Atlanta can be really, really scary because
I don't think he's going. I think he's too young, and I think he's going to want to leave. I think he's going to make an immature move and bounce.
Well, I mean, that's why they got that extra $35 million to throw at him to kind of make him change his mind, man, you know?
Is Nate McMillan out the door after this season?
I don't know. That's tough. That's really hard to actually say. It really kind of depends on the playoffs and how much of a run they can actually make, whether they need to add a piece, whether it's, you know, what kind of adjustments. We got to see in the playoffs and then judge them there. And that's where the real season, the playoffs is different. But right. We got to see, I mean, what kind of adjustments does he make? You saw Steve Nash, you know, he didn't make any adjustments. That's what a lot of people were actually complaining about. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if you look at how the roster was constructed, yeah, it's true. Trae still has to grow somewhat, you know.
What about, do you feel like Trae is a little bit responsible for maybe speaking out on behalf of Coach McMillan, kind of letting the public know that this is not going to be an issue? Or if it is, it is. Like,
well, you got to build chemistry, man, of course. I think He said he didn't want that stuff to get out, man. Somebody
leaked it out.
Yeah, leaked it out. He didn't want that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah.
Let's talk about my Lakers, man. Let's take this thing. Let's take this thing to the Western Conference, the Western side of things, man. Where do I begin?
It's a lot, man. You know, so hopefully you wrote notes.
We're going to make this brief, though, because, see, this one I could be all night. So we're going to make this one brief, man. First of all, Anthony Davis. You know, I'm hearing everybody making videos about trade Anthony Davis. I like to talk reality. You know, realistically, I just don't see that happening this season. This year, can you see, Rasheed, the Lakers sitting AD down for the remainder of the regular season, and the Lakers still have a chance to make the play-in tournament?
Nah, not with that roster, man. I don't know. I don't know what's up with Dennis Schroeder. I mean, years ago, he was actually really good, man. I don't know what happened with him. I guess he's just... there was a thing saying that he thinks he's just better than LeBron, you know, if it came down to, like, let's say a last second possession to win the game, you know, he would kind of just disregard LeBron and he would try to kind of, like, want to take the shot himself. And then there's a thing, he's actually playing for a contract. So does he actually want to really kind of play into, like, a system, or right, is he on actually getting his own numbers to try to make some money? The Lakers got a lot of issues. I mean, I just did a video earlier about that. And I mean, you know, there's no structure. You know, you got Jeannie Buss, and then you got the Rambuses and Phil Jackson and Magic Johnson and Pelinka. And before that, then you had Kobe before he died, God rest his soul. You know, you just need to have a structure. You know, owner, president of basketball operations, general manager, and then your coach and your coaches. And that's it. They'll get rid of all the consultants that they actually have there. I don't know. Jerry West is, I don't know if he's still there. No, he's not there. But yeah, all these outside consultants, you know, just get some type of structure. You know, Magic Johnson, I'm sorry, man. You understand what I'm saying, though, right? Just get some
structure. It was downhill since Magic left. Like, yeah. That's even though LeBron and them was able to win a championship after, having Magic leave LeBron before LeBron really could get into the groove of being with this team was just started this whole recipe for a disaster. And I don't care what nobody say, bro. I just feel like the Lakers are just sabotaging LeBron's last years.
That's what I'm saying. You don't have any structure, man. And Rob Pelinka's unproven. They say he's smart, but, I mean, is he a real good, competent GM? I mean, look, T.J. Warren was out there. That Watanabe kid, he was out there. And Edmund Sumba on the Brooklyn Nets, they were out there. They were all free agents. Why are they not with the Lakers? You know, like, it's Los Angeles. I mean, they should be able to get better players.
I'm going to keep it real. And B.A., you can let me know if I'm bugging out. Ty TV, you can let me know if I'm bugging out, Rasheed. Please let me know. But you mentioned Rob Pelinka. And I know that Kobe Bryant was so close to Rob. So is Jeannie Buss. Am I tripping by feeling like Rob Pelinka is purposely sabotaging LeBron's legacy and time in LA because he's so close to Kobe? He's purposely not making the adjustments.
You could be on to something there. I mean, and this is the problem, man. No, you can't, when it comes to a business, you can't be saying, yo, this is my boy and I want to hook him up. No, you got to get the best possible person for the job, man. And I had a trucking company and I had friends to help me run it. And I'm like, it wasn't the right people, man, actually really doing it. Ultimately, it actually failed. So, I mean, you can't have people like, oh, because I like this person, I want him running things. And, you know, let's say you had a business, Seven, and You know, you wanted your brother to run customer service for you, man. And but he's horrible at customer service. Right. Then you're not going to, you know what I'm saying? You said, but nah, this is my man here. And you know, yeah, that's the problem right there, man. You got to get the best. Take the emotions out of it. You know, take your feelings out of it and be logical. Rob Pelinka has to go. He hasn't constructed a really good roster. He hasn't done anything. I mean, Anthony Davis is a bad trade, man. I don't care what you actually say.
See, one thing I will acknowledge, Rob Pelinka got a lot of voices in his ear. Jeannie Buss got a lot of voices in her ear. It's a lot of communication. It's a lot of talk where there shouldn't be. But you cannot tell me that Jeannie Buss is not allowing Rob Pelinka to sign shooters. Maybe not the big fish, but it's clear as day that LeBron needs shooters. It's been like that for the last 2 to 3 seasons. And well, yeah. Rob Pelinka will not make the adjustments. And I'm just like, yo, I don't believe that Jeannie is telling Rob, don't sign shooters. I feel like Rob is just dropping the ball.
No, he is. I mean, like I said, there were shooters out there. I mean, you had the Watanabe kid that's on the Nets. I mean, he's a free agent. They got him. You know, he should have been highly coveted, man. Like steak dinners. You know, matter of fact, here, take the whole cow, man, alive or something like that, man. Yeah, they need shooters. If you don't have, listen, and when it comes to basketball, spacing is everything. You know, you saw what happened with the Nets in the first round of the series, the first round in Boston, had no shooters. You know, you need spacing, you know, and you don't have it, you're not going to win.
When you think about the mindset of LeBron James right now, where do you think LeBron mind is at? Where do you think his near future is? What do you think he's thinking about?
I mean, he has to blame himself ultimately to start.
Why, Rob?
He didn't have to go to Los Angeles. The team wasn't really that good before he even got there. They were better. He could have went to Portland. Could have went to San Antonio. Could have went to Dallas. He could have went to a lot of other teams. I was just the Clippers. They had a better roster than the Lakers at the time. So he has to blame himself for actually going there. I thought it was a bad move originally. TYTV, man. Yeah, absolutely, man. Rob is straight before the championship. It's Jeannie plus Phil was right. But I mean, listen. You got to constantly make adjustments, man. What type of adjustments have the Lakers actually made, TYTV, man?
None. Absolutely none. The only thing that they've done was Darwin Ham putting Russell Westbrook, you know, on the bench. And for a moment, working.
It's not an insult to Westbrook. You just need somebody to actually run the offense for that second unit. You know, unless if you can get a true backup, a serviceable point guard, a backup point guard, then you could start Russell Westbrook. And I believe maybe they can actually start winning some games because then you can't load up on LeBron like that. LeBron got to bring the ball up. And I mean, you got the shot clock. It's 24 seconds on the shot clock. Right. And then when he brings the ball up to half court, now it's 18. They're going to blitz him. He get the ball back in his hands. And then once LeBron gets the ball back now, he has 10, 11, 12 seconds to work with, you know. So not everybody is a really good high percentage passer. Now you look at Brook Lopez. If you try to run your offense through Brook Lopez, for some reason, he's just not good at passing the ball at the double teams. Right. As long as he's been in the NBA, he just turns the ball over. Let's say there's 10 straight possessions, he'll turn it over 6, 7 times in a, you know, in 10 possessions in terms of making really good passes. So you only want certain people actually handling the basketball. And with LeBron, I mean, they need a good service. And I think Schroeder, I don't know what's up with him, though, man. He was a problem like years ago, man. He could score. I don't know what happened to him.
Look, man, I refuse. I'll be speechless, man. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say because I feel like LeBron is stuck. There's no trading LeBron from the Lakers.
And they can't trade him.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, well, but answer my question though. Do you actually think LeBron kind of brought this on himself a little bit?
No way. No way.
You don't think there was better teams he could have went to? He was a free agent. Free agent.
Like, we got to go back to 2019. The teams were Philly, LA, and what was the third option?
There was the Clippers Clippers, the Spurs. I don't know if Portland had any space. The teams that were Damian Lillard. There's a lot of teams. Listen. Any team that's taking LeBron James can try to clear up space and try to bring him on, man, and try to put a competent roster. There's Memphis, you know. I remember Memphis wasn't Memphis at the time, but at least their general manager knows how to construct a roster.
Yeah, I mean, then we had the pandemic. I don't know, bro. I'm not blaming Bron because Bron got AD. Bron got the championship. Nothing else.
All right, that the all right, Lakers all right. So you're putting a team together, man. You're putting the team together. And my first 10 players, is AD on your list?
No. He can't stay on the court.
All right, so yeah, exactly. He doesn't really put, you know, pressure on your. I mean, he's just not wired like a LeBron James. It's not about legacy with him, man. I mean, he had the one good year when it came to getting that money, his contract extension in the bubble, and then after that, he just takes his foot off the gas, man. It's a lot of players like that.
Yeah, I think he's good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he just takes his foot off. I've been watching the NBA for over 20-something years, man. Watched mainly a lot of Nets games. I seen Mikey Moore, I mean, killing him in the regular season. Got his contract. Kenyon Martin is another one. Remember Travis Outlaw back in Portland? Yep. Got a big $35 million contract. That was it, man. You know, you never heard from him pretty much again when it comes to productivity, man. And so with AD, you got like you're going to start a team up. You got five players to choose from. Yeah, it's true. And it's just LeBron made him give up the future for AD and Russ.
What future, BA? What has Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and Julius Randle and Lonzo Ball? What have them guys done? And Kyle Kuzma.
But you need those guys. You need those guys that you know for the regular season. Because LeBron, you can't ask LeBron to go hard from start to finish, you know, at his age. These young guys are supposed to carry you, keep you in games. I was just kind of dissing the Golden State Warriors last week in one of the videos I made because, Colin Cowherd, he was saying, oh, this is the standard. They draft better than you, and they get blown out by 70-some points between the Knicks and the Nets. So the young guys are supposed to play hard, keep you in games. They can't close games for you. And this is where LeBron in the fourth quarter can actually come in and close the game out. So you need those young pieces. You need those young players there. Good young players.
This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, y'all. Seven Mitchell in the building, episode 154. We in the building, man. Got my special guest with me, Rasheed White of Sports to the Wire podcast. Rasheed, let the people know what you got going on with your channel, man, and what people can expect tuning into your platform.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of Brooklyn Nets games, probably doing, you know, Nets analysis, do some Philadelphia stuff. I don't want to get too crazy. I'm a part-time YouTuber and try to post, you know, at least 5, 6, 7 videos a week there. But I'm an excellent basketball analyst, better than what the guys you hear on ESPN and Fox Sports, man, because especially Fox Sports, like the Knicks Wright guys and these guys never hoop, man. I played basketball for 25 years, man, and, you know, just know pretty much everything to it. That's how I'm able to really kind of be the oracle with the Brooklyn Nets and just tell you, you know, how everything is coming to fruition there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. So y'all make sure y'all follow my guy, Rasheed White, Sports to the Wire. here on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. Before we get up out of here, man, just one more topic to discuss, and that is the race. The race to the Michael Jordan Trophy, the NBA MVP award. It's a couple of names, man, I could throw out there, from Jason Tatum to Nikola Jokic to Giannis Antetokounmpo to Kevin Durant to Joel Embiid. I mean, there's quite a couple names that have been floating around when we talk about the MVP race and discussion. You look at Luka, how he's been playing. If the season ended today, Rashid, who is the recipient of the Michael Jordan MVP award?
I would say, all right, the true definition of MVP, who's most valuable? If I take Luka Doncic off of that team right now, it's a lottery team. You know, they're going to be bottom of the barrel. You know, and I'm not saying Giannis, I mean, Luka is the best player out of all of those guys. I'm just talking about in terms of value. If I take any one of these players off, Kevin Durant off, how many games they win without KD? How many games they win without Luka? How many games they win without Joel Embiid? You know, so in terms of value right now, I would say Luka Doncic, because if they take Luka off, that team is going to lose like 98% of the games, man.
Well, I got a million-dollar question. What about the Denver Nuggets?
I mean, they're playing great basketball right now, man.
But I'm saying, what about Joker?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's really hard. It's really hard. But I think they got better players. You know, you got Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray. You know, Bruce Brown is actually playing well. He's actually evolving his game. He's not just becoming like a rim runner. He's actually putting the ball on the floor. He's making plays. They got a nice little team, though, man. They got a nice little squad. And they will lose a lot of games without the Joker. But I just think if Luka Doncic is out, missing, let's say, 25, 30-something games. Now, Devin Booker went down now, so we're going to see. He's out for a month now. So we're going to see how valuable he is, you know, 1 month. And same thing with Steph Curry now. So Steph Curry's actually is going to miss a month. So we got to see how many games these guys can actually win without their superstar players like Devin Booker, Steph, Joker, you know. But right now, I would say in terms of value, like real true value, MVP, who's most valuable? Not the best player, who's most valuable? And I would say Luka, maybe Steph. I say the Joker next. Then I would say Kevin Durant, because they can always unleash Ben Simmons, you know, because right now they got Ben Simmons in a reduced role right now. But they need him to go out there and score 16. He can actually do it, 20-something points. Not to score 30 a night, but, you know, he can, you know. So if KD, I once put KD there. So yeah, I got Luka, Steph, in terms of that order, and Jokic.
Wow. Wow, man. I really
got
to talk
about that. Who you got? All right, hold on. Who you actually got? Who you got?
Wow, man. I am so surprised at you, bro. I don't know if I'm more surprised at me or am I more surprised at you, because if the season ended today, I'm going with your guy, Kevin Durant.
But no, he's playing great. I'm a realist, man. You know what I'm saying?
This is why. Valuable.
Who's more? Exactly. If Kevin Durant goes down with an injury, the Brooklyn Nets can still win games. They, you know, you still got Kyrie. You still got Ben Simmons. They can upgrade T.J. Warren to the starting. You know what I'm saying? They got some firepower. I get it.
They can get W's. I get it.
Yes.
But all I know is this. Right now, with everything that the Brooklyn Nets have went through from the offseason to the regular season, so much. You guys somehow are now 2.5 games out of first place in the Eastern Conference. The Luka and Dallas, Luka doing his thing, but Dallas is only 3 games over .500. So I'm not that much impressed with Luka. So subtract, no, 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 no.
That's what I'm saying. It's not about the player. It's about who's more valuable to their team. You know, if you take Luka off, they're going to lose. Like, I'm telling you, it's going to be a 15-game lose. They don't have anybody else that can create their own offense, man. Not Luka, like Luka.
To me, Dallas being three games over 500 with Luka and not having Luka, to me, both of those are not impressive. You losing Kevin Durant and you guys are sole possession of second place, that ain't happening without Kevin Durant. That's a
yeah, fact. I agree. But if you lose KD with the score, you saw all right when they were missing eight starters, right? That game against Indiana, the role players, man, guys who were just fighting to get into the NBA, they put up 136 points without Ben Simmons, without Kyrie, without Steph Curry, Joe Harris. You know, they put up 100. I'm talking about the last eight players on the bench put up 136 points. The Brooklyn Nets is loaded, man. I'm telling you.
But come on now, Rasheed. First of all, that was the Indiana Pacers, number one. And they're not garbage.
Yeah,
they're not garbage. But we also know that when we get into April, it's a seven-game series. The games slow down. Like I don't anticipate Brooklyn putting up that many numbers back-to-back on a team, the same team in a seven-game series.
Well, you talking about Kevin Durant? They got a squad, man. I'm telling you, this is what I'm saying.
I mean, after that first round,
give you 20 on any given night. He's coming off the bench.
After that first round, I don't see Brooklyn in the second or the Eastern Conference Finals averaging 130, 140 points a game. They're gonna need defense to win the championship.
Who's gonna stop Kyrie Irving?
It could be themselves. What if Ben Simmons? What if they give him the ball too much and he not efficient? Like you guys could shoot yourself in the foot. Who knows? I don't know. Nah, I mean, that's one of the problems with the Lakers is the turnovers.
He can give you 20 points, man, easily, man. I mean, the guys that's going to be guarding him is like 6'3", 6'4". You know, he can overpower them. Man, I was just talking to a basketball coach earlier, and I'm just I asked him. I said, listen, if you coaching Ben Simmons, do you want Ben Simmons shooting threes? Or you want him getting downhill? You know, go watch the Atlanta game and watch the first 3 or 4 minutes of how Ben Simmons was just trying to just take it into the hole.
Easy.
I mean, if he wants to go out there and score 20 points a game, he's looking to score. You still got Kevin Durant. You have to put a body in front of Ben Simmons. You have to run a second person at Ben Simmons. It's not like, oh, okay, he's some type of a guy that's like the 17th person on the end of the bench. You have to run a second man at him. You have to. And get the ball out of his hands. And then you got Kyrie, who can shoot threes, 40-something% from three. Kevin Durant, who's 42-43%. No, he's shooting 37% this year.
They knocking him down. Brooklyn is playing on both ends of the court. Offensively, yeah. Defensively. They getting it done. I'm just so surprised at that. Like I said, and I don't know. And then I feel like, man, Kevin Durant has reminded everybody who felt like he fell off. He is not to be played with. That's why I would give Kevin Durant the MVP.
Yeah, my battery died on the camera there, man. So
it's all good. It's all good.
Still with you here, man.
Sports to the wire. I'm about to put it in the live chat, TYTV. You can check out Rasheed White. About to end the show anyway. So definitely, Rasheed, man, I appreciate you coming through tonight, man. It's always a pleasure to chop it up with you. I had to give you your flowers when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets, man. You called it.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I just want to thank the Nets for making me look good, man. Because it's a gamble saying that, man. I'm like, you know, and I was kind of worried about the Claxton Ben Simmons lineup, but it's working. I just thought about it. I said, "Dan, you got 3 7-footers that can play the perimeter, man, and stay in front of point guards, man." You know, I was watching. I see Halliburton. He blew by Nicholas Claxton, and he tried to use the other side of the rim for protection to prevent Claxton from blocking his shot. It still blocked it anyway, man. I mean, these guys are. lethal defensively and lethal offensively. I just don't see anybody beating them, man.
A lot of basketball left, man. Rashid, I appreciate you, bro. You know, I'll holler at you at another time. Absolutely. Salute again to the NBA community, man. Appreciate you guys joining the show this evening. I hope you guys stay safe. Smash that like button. And if you're new to the channel, hit that subscribe button, man. You are now rocking with the best. I'm Seven Mitchell. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Happy holidays to everybody. Y'all stay safe. And I'll catch you guys tomorrow, man. We are out of here. Peace.
All right. Peace out, everyone. Happy New Year to everyone.
All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.